Dr. Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about...
Okay, more on funguses halfway through the article. So now remember that there's three domains. It's archaea, bacteria, and eukaryotic. Under eukaryotic, there's five kingdoms. Plant, animal, fungus, Procista, and Monera. So I don't know what the Procista, Monera are as in kingdoms. And funguses have chitin, which is an insect thing. They have another thing in this thing, and they are basically needle life forms, which needle their way into food sources, needle themselves into living things, dead things, they just needle their way through. And so it's the idea that they're nano or 2 micron fibers go in this. Imagine your human hair, but 100 times smaller than that. Just very stiff, just pointing in, burrowing in, and then dissolving you. So that's how it operates. It's pretty amazing. Okay, now we're on to growth and physiology. It's pretty amazing I'm doing this. The growth of fungi as hyphae or solid substrates or single cells in aquatic environments is adapted for efficient extraction of nutrients because these growth forms have high surface area to volume ratios. That is, because they're so small and needle-like, they've got a huge sort of hyphae are specifically adapted to grow in solid surfaces and various substrates and tissues. So whatever hyphae are, I don't remember heard of those before. They can exert large penetrative mechanical forces. For example, many plant pathogens, including Magnaphora gesgrissa, form a structure called apricin, evolved to puncture plant tissues. Oh, look, I think I've read this before, but let's go through. The pressure generated is against it. The plant epidermis can exceed 8 megapascals. So that's 8 megapascals. So it's kilopascals, I think, is an atmosphere. 101325. Is it 10 megapascals? Oh, I just have to get through. 15 psi is... See, you can see it's going in. 15 psi is an atmosphere. So that's 1,000 atmospheres. Roughly 1,000 atmospheres. The Phyllomus fungus uses a similar structure to penetrate eggs of nematodes, worms. Look, I've read this before, but let's go again. And it's interesting that as my reading goes in, my memory is improved. The mechanical pressure exerted by apricin is generated in the form of physiological processes that increase intercellular turgor by producing osmolotes such as glycerol. So they fill themselves with glycerol and make this thing. Adaptations such as these are complemented by hydrolytic enzymes secreted into the environment to digest large organic molecules such as polysaccharides, proteins, lipids, into smaller molecules that can be absorbed as nutrients. So basically the stomach's on the outside. The vast majority of Phyllomus fungi grow in polar fashion, extending in one direction by elongation at the tip or apex of the hypha. So this is the fiber. Other forms of fungal growth include intercalary extension, longitudinal expansion of hypha compartments from below the apex, as in the case of the endophoric fungi, or growth in volume expansion during the development of the mushroom stipes or other large organs. Growth of fungi as multicellular structures consists of somatic or reproductive cells, a feature independently evolved in animals and plants, as has several functions, including the development of fruiting bodies for dissemination of sexual spores and biofilms or for substrate colonization and intercellular communication. So they are single cells and go together. And this is, you know, like a sign mold, a single cell, but when the food dries up, the single cells merge together to perform reproduction. It's pretty interesting. Reproduction. Fungal reproduction is complex, reflecting differences in lifestyle and genetic makeup within this diverse kingdom of organisms. It is estimated that a third of all fungi reproduce using more than one method of propagation. For example, reproduction may occur in two well-defined stages within a life cycle of a species, a telomorph and an anamorph. So a telomorph is would be obviously communication distance. Environmental conditions trigger genetically determined developmental states and lead to the creation of specialized structures for sexual and asexual reproduction. These structures aid in reproduction by efficiently dispersing spores or spore-containing propagules. So there's little things with spores inside. Asexual reproduction occurs via vegetative spores, conidia, or through mycelial fragmentation. This breaks up. Mycelial fragmentation occurs when the fungal mycelium separates into pieces, and each component grows as a separate mycelium. Mycelial fragmentation and vegetative spores contain colonial populations adapted to specific niche and allow more rapid dispersal than sexual reproduction. So when it disperses, it's actually a colony dispersing. The fungi imperfecti, fungi lacking perfect sexual stage or deuteromycorrhic compromise, comprise all the species that lack an observable sexual cycle. Wow. Deuteromycorrhina is not accepted taxonomical clade, as now taken to mean simply fungi that lack known sexual stages. So that's sort of, it's not a division, but this is a way of referring to a group. So if you see the group there, I'm just trying to work this out. So they have a way of not reproducing sexually. Asexually. Fungi imperfecti. Sexual reproduction with meiosis has been directly observed in all fungi phyla except Glumacota. Okay, so there's meiosis and mitosis. So it's, meiosis is the sad sex way of doing it. Genetic analysis suggests that meiosis in Glumacota is as well. They can see it there, but they haven't observed it. It differs in many respects from sexual reproduction in animals and plants. Differences can exist between fungi groups that can be used to discriminate species by morphological differences in sexual structures and reproductive strategies. Mating experiments between fungal isolates may identify species on the basis of biological species concept. Major fungal groupings have initially been delineated based on the morphology of their sexual structures and spores. For example, spore-containing structure, Ascii and Basidia, can be used for the identification of Ascomycetes and Basidiomycetes. So, that sort of makes sense, doesn't it? Verbally, Ascii and Basidia, but I don't understand what they mean. Fungi employ two mating systems. Heterothallic species allow mating only between individuals of opposite mating type, whereas homothallic species can mate and sexually reproduce with any other individual itself. So, there's the hetero and homo. Mm. Most fungi have haploid, that is, a haploid, which is a sperm side and a duploid stage of their life cycle. In sexually reproducing fungi, compatible individuals may combine by fusing their hyphae together into an interconnected network. This process, which is called antesomosis, is required for the initiation of the sexual cycle. As acetomates and basalmates go through a dikaryotic stage, in which the nuclei inherited from the two parents do not combine immediately after cell infusion, but remain separate for the hyphal cells. Wow. So, The theory is a sperm contains all you need, and the egg contains all you need. So it's sort of, you know, what's the sperm you need? Ascomycetes, dikaryotic hyphae, or of the hyphen or spore-laying tissue layer, for the characteristic hook at the hyphal septum, whatever that means. During cell division, formation of the hook ensures proper distribution of newly derived nuclei into the egg picker and basal hyphae compartments. So, yeah, they've got not more than, they've got many backup nuclei. The anascus, or plural asci, is then formed, in which karyogamy, which is a karyotype, means I think a karyotype means when you lay out all the genes, so I don't quite understand that mean terms. Asci are embedded in the ascocarp, the fruiting body. Karyogamy in the asci is also followed immediately by meiosis, the production of ascospores. After dispersal, the spores then germinate to form a new haploid meiosis. So there's sex going in there, but not as we can possibly understand it, or I can understand it.
I knew sex was going to be complicated. Oh, sorry.
Sexual reproduction in Basidiomycetes is similar to that of the Ascomycetes. Cameral haploid hacli fuse to produce dikaryotic mycium, that is, that were a karyotype and a second karyotype. However, the dikaryotype phase is more extensive in the Basidiomycetes, often also present in the vegetative growing mycium. A special anatomical structure called a clamp connection is formed between each hyphae septum. As with the structurally similar hook of ascomy, the clamp connection of the Basidiomycete is required for controlled transfer of nuclei during cell division to maintain the dikaryotic stage with two genetically different nuclei in each hyphal compartment. So how it does it is just absolutely sort of like delayed gratification sex. The basidiocarp is formed in which the club-like structures known as basidia generate haploid basidiospores after karyogamy and meiosis. Most common basidiocarps are mushrooms, but they may take other forms. Wow. I've got a new respect for mushrooms.
So, I just want to work out what the spores of those mushrooms are like.
In fungi, formerly classified as Zygomycete, zygote, haploid hyphae of two individuals fused, forming a gamete, so zygotes and gametes. A cis-trans cell structure then becomes a fertile gamete-producing cell. The gametigum develops a zygospore, a thick walled spore formed by the union of gametes. When the zygospore germinates, it undergoes meiosis, generating new haploid hyphae, which may then form asexual sporogenospores. These sporospores allow the fungi to rapidly disperse and germinate into a new genetically identical haploid fungal mycia.
I can sort of see what's going on there.
Spore dispersal. Both sexual and asexual spores of sporogenospores are often actively dispersed by forcible ejection from the reproductive structure. This ejection ensures the existence of spores from reproductive structures as well as travelling through the air over long distances. So it can actually fire at spores. And that's a thing to know that if you've got fungus and mould on your walls, that's the... It's flashing its genitals at you, and those genitals are just pushing you full of spore eggs, enough to make you sick. Specialized mechanical or under specialized mechanical and physiological mechanisms, as well as wall surface structure, such as hydrophobins, make effective spore rejection. For example, the structure of spore-bearing cells in some Asteromyces species is such that the build-up of substances affecting cell volume and fluid balance enables explosive discharge of the spore into the air. The forcible discharge of single spores, termed ballistospores, involves the formation of a small drop of water, Buller's drop, which upon contact with the spore leads to a projectile release with the initial acceleration of more than 10,000 Gs.
I find that I think 10,000 Gs is a pretty amazing acceleration.
It's not a fraction of the speed of light, but it's the fastest thing I know in the world, isn't it? 10,000 Gs, or how fast its acceleration has been amazing. Then the salt of the spore is ejected at 0.1 to 0.2 centimetres, so it's pretty fast, but it doesn't travel very far. It just travels an incredibly small amount. Sufficient distance to fall through the gills or pores into the air below. Other fungi, like the puffballs, rely on alternative mechanisms of spore release, such as external mechanical force. Bird's nest fungi use the force of falling water droplets to liberate the spores from the cup-shaped fruit bodies. Another strategy is seen as stink horns, a group of fungi with lively colours and putrid odour to attract insects to disperse their spores. Plants, flowers, aren't they? Other sexual processes, besides regular sexual production with meiosis, certain fungi, such as the genera Penicillium and Aspergillus, may exchange genetic material via a parasexual process initiated by entetomosis between the hyphae and plasmogomy of fungal cells. The frequency and relative importance of parasexual events is unclear and may be lower than other sexual processes. It is known to play a role in intrapacific hybridization, as likely required for hybridization between species, which has been associated with major events in fungal evolution. Wow. So, I'm just going to pause at the moment because I'm running out of energy. Okay, we've just finished other sexual processes. I ran out of energy, I've taken a bit of a rest, and here we go on evolution. In contrast to plant animals and early fossil records, fungi and media. The factors that likely contribute to this underrepresentation of fungal species among fossils include the nature of fungal fruiting bodies, which are soft, fleshy, and easily degradable, sometimes microscopic dimensions of most fungal structures. They are therefore not really evidence. Fungal fossils are difficult to distinguish from those of other microbes, and are most easily identified when they resemble exantient fungi, often recovered from pre-mineralized plants and animal host. Okay, pre-mineralized. These samples are typically studied by making thin section penetrations that can be examined with light microscope, transmission electron microscope. Researchers rely on compression fossils by dissolving the surrounding matrix with acid, and then using light and scanning electron microscopy to examine the surface. Those earliest fossils possessing features typical of fungi date from the Paleoproterozoic era. So I actually think that's some 24 million years ago. So 240 2,400 million years ago, so that's really early on. These multicellular benthic organisms have filamentous structures capable of astomosis, which I don't know what mean that is. In studies, 2009 estimate the arrival of fungal organisms at 760 to 1,060 million years ago. On the basis of comparison, the rate of evolution of isolated groups. For both of the Paleozoic era, see you. 25 million years ago. The fungi appeared to be aquatic, consisted of organisms similar to the external, well, that makes sense, chytrids, having fleshy flagellum bearing spores. The evolutionary adaptation from aquatic to terrestrial lifestyle necessitated by the diversification of ecological strategies for obtaining nutrients, including parasitism, cephalobiosis, and the development of mutualistic relationships as microzoa and lichenization. So lichenization is a fungus and a bacteria. About its time, approximately 400 million years ago, Ascomyota and Basikimyota diverged. The minimal classes of fungi were present in the late Carboniferous Pennsylvanian. Okay, so I really don't know the difference between the different types of funguses, those two types. So what are they again? The Ascomyota and Basikimyota diverged. Lichen-like, I know later is mushrooms. Lichen-like fossils have been found in the Jushano Formation in southern China, dating back 635 to 51 million years ago. So that's before plant animals. Plants have been on the ground. Lichens formed in components of the early terrestrial ecosystems. An estimated age of the oldest terrestrial lichen fossil is 400 million years old. So I don't quite understand.
So, like 400 million years old is your plants.
So, lichenization has occurred million times. Okay. Okay. Proxodates, which is probably a fungus or lichen, would have been at the tallest organisms in the late Silurian. So these are Silurian, I believe, is the lizard ones. Fungals do not become common and uncontroversial until the early Devonian, when everyone says them. So, Silurian is before it, 416 to 435 BC. So, this is before dinosaurs, Devonian.
They grew apparently
in Rainy Chert, most Zygomata and Charomycodia. At about the same time, approximately 400 million years ago, Ascomyota and Basikimyota diverged, and all modern classes of fungi in presence by the late Carboniferous. Okay. Lichen-like fossils have been found in the Jushantou Formation in southern China, dating back 635 to 51 million years ago. Lichens formed a component of the early terrestrial ecosystem. An estimated age of the oldest terrestrial lichen is 400 million years ago. This date corresponds to the age of the known sporocap fossils, a Paleopyramycini species found in the Rhineland Chert. The oldest fossil with microscopic features resembling modern-day Basidiomycetes is Basidiomycetes. Is the Paleoanacrystis found P. opinion relies with a firm in the Pennsylvania. So, these functions in the Pennsylvania is when there are ferns out there. So, in the early Silurian, there were not plants as we know it, but ferns and fern trees. Rare in fossil records are the Homeobasidomycetes, a taxon roughly equivalent to mushroom-producing species of the Agromycetes. Two amber-preserved specimens provide evidence of the earliest known mushrooms forming fungi. The extinct species Archaemasomys leggetti appeared during the late Cretaceous. Sub-Permian Jurassic extinction event. Sometime after Permian Jurassic extinction event, 251 million years ago, that's the birth of dinosaurs. A fungi spike, originally thought to be an extraordinary abundance of fungal spores in the sediments, formed. Suggesting fungus were a dominant life form at this time, representing nearly 100% available fossil record for this period. My God, plants were wiped out. Whatever was going on, but there weren't too many ferns. And plants, your ferns require a lot of moisture, so when wonders were just cooked it, the plant. However, a relative proportion of fungal spores relative to spores formed by algal species is difficult to assess. The spike did not appear worldwide, and in many places did not fall on the Permian-Triassic boundary. 65 million years ago, immediately after the Cretaceous-Paleogene extension event, famously called the modern diastole, there's a dramatic increase in evidence of fungi, apparently the death of most plants and animal species leading to a huge fungal bloom. A massive compost heap. You can imagine everything dead and there's just funguses just having a good old time. Can't wait for an extinction. Taxonomy, although most commonly included in botany curricula and textbooks, fungies, there you go, like our textbooks have plants and fungies together. Fungies are more closely related to animals than plants and are placed with the animals and monophyletic groups of Opisthocoetus. Analysis using molecular phylogenetic support the monophyletic origin of fungi. So they're in phylum. The taxonomy of fungi is a state of constant flux, especially due to recent research based on DNA comparison. These current phylogenetic analysis often overturn classification based on older, sometimes less discriminative method based on morphological features and biological species concept obtained from experimental matings. Well, there you go. You can imagine these fungal people. I haven't met a fungi. There is no unique, generally accepted system for higher taxonomic levels, and there are frequent names changes at every level, from species upwards. Efforts among researchers are now underway to establish and encourage usage of unified, more consistent nomenclature. Fungal species also have multiple scientific names depending on their life cycle and mode, sexual, asexual, or reproduction. Websites such as the Index of Fungiforms at the ITS is currently known as the fungal species with cross-reference older synonyms. In 2007, the Kingdom of Fungi is a result of a large, so there's different kingdoms in a domain of eukaryotic, result of large-scale collaborative research effort involving dozens of mushroom guys, mice soldiers, and other scientists working on a fungal taxonomy. So I'm just a worker. I'm just working on fungal taxonomy. I'm not a fungus guy. I'm not a fungi. It recognizes seven phyla, two of which the Asomata and the Bastarnia are contained within a branch representing the subkingdom Dicara, which is caryotes, it's mating, most species rich and familiar group, including all the mushrooms, most of the food spore mold, most plant pathogenic fungi, beer, wine, and bread, yeast. So the other five phylums are pretty odd as far as I can tell. The accompanying cladogram depicts major fungal taxon. Now, this is showing a cladogram. This is where you get that fork tree. And the relationship to obstacont and eudicont organisms based on the work of Philip Siller, the Mycota, a comprehensive treatise on fungi experimental systems for basic and applied research. And Telcedo et al. 2018, the lengths of the branches are not proportional to the evolutionary distances. Well, there you go. And it goes for, there's a huge man called, there's a Zoospora, whichever it's got. And look, truly, there's nothing recognizable there. The Bassero dicomodicota is one of them. And the Ascomodita. And I must admit, I can't tell the difference between the two of them. Okay, so with two flagellate cells, the blastic, there's one with the zygospore suspensors, another one which forms a network somehow, one which forms, so most of the egg dispersion is sexual again, which gives them taxonomic groups. Major phyla, sometimes called divisions of the fungi, have been classified mainly due to the basic characteristics of the sexual reproductive structures. Currently, several phyla are proposed. Microspordia, Crotosomycota, Ballistomycota, so there's one which fires the thing, which is in, the micro is very minute, one's in water, the Neocalamascomita massata, the Glomysometri, the Ascomyota, and the Basidomycota. So those last two are the big common ones. Phylogenetic analysis has demonstrated that the microsporida unicellular parasites in animals and Procyss are fairly recent and highly derived endobiotic fungi living within the tissue of another species. So the Microspora are just parasitic ones. One 2006 study includes that Microspora are a sister group of true fungi. That is, they are each other's closest evolutionary relatives. Hibbert and colleagues suggest that this analysis does not clash with their classification of fungi, and although Microsporidae are elevated to phylum status, it is acknowledged that further analysis is required to clarify the evolutionary relationship within this group. So, those Microsporidae are parasites, unicellular parasites. The Crotridiomycota are commonly known as the Chirids. Now, these chirids. These fungi are distributed worldwide. Chirids and their close relatives, the Neocalamascomita and the Ballistomycota below, are the only fungi with active motility sperms, including zoospores, are capable of active movement through aqueous phases of the single flagellum, leading early taxonomists to classify them as Procyss. Okay. So Procyss is something like fungi, but these actually swim around the place. Molecular phylogenetics inferred from the RNA sequences in the ribosomes suggest that Crisids are a basal group divergent from other fungal phyla consisting of four major clades with suggestive evidence of paraphyly and possibly polyphyly. I don't know what that means, unfortunately, guys. So I was sort of right that these are water-based ones, but the ballisto ones are just... Okay, ballistocladomica were previously considered a taxonomic clade with the water one. Cryutomagella. Recent molecular data and ultra structural characteristics have placed the ballistic chalidomicota as a sister of the zygote and gallomicota and the dicara. So the dicara are the two things, the two major groups, which are the astromycota and the basidomycota. The ballistomycota, saprophytes feeding on decomposing organic matter. They are parasites of all eukaryotic groups. Unlike these, their close relatives, carids, most of which exhibit zygotic meiosis, ballistochromates undergo sporadic meiosis. Meiosis is the cell division, but gee, this is heavy going. The neoclamistogameta were earlier placed in the phylum of Chirotomyxia. I can imagine a real fungus person just going, be me like saying, I think if I'm broadcasting in French, you, people would be just absolutely appalled. Sorry, this is, do I speak fungi? Unfortunately, I don't. The neocalismascomiota were earlier placed in the phylum of Chirotomycota. Members of a small phylum are the anaerobic organisms living in the digestive systems of large herbivore animals in the other terrestrial and aquatic environments enriched in cellulose, domestic waste landfill sites. They lack mitochondria but contain hydrogenosomes of mitochondrial origin. They are related to cyrids and chalomyscomagids from former zoospore and are posteriorly uniflagrant and polyflagrant. At the end, they have more than multiple things and they don't have mitochondria. They have, what do they have? The mitochondria is the energy thing, but they produce hydrogen. Wow. Members of the glaucomycota form obscura mycorrhizae, a form of mutualist symbiosis where fungi, hyphae invade plant root cells, and both species benefit from the resulting increased supply of nutrients. What? So the members of the So these are, this is what they're drawing here. These are fungi which only exist in plant root cells. Wow. These produce asexually. The symbiotic association between the glaucomycota and plants is ancient. Is evidence in dating back 400 million years ago. Now, I think it was that plants, the fungi, were acted as roots before they developed roots. I don't know. Formerly part of the zygomycota, commonly known as sugar or pin molds, the glomycota were elevated to a phylum status in 2001 and now replace the older phylum of the zygomycota. Fungi that were placed in the zygomycota are now reassigned to the figo. It's like these fungi are. Sorry, your phylum's over. What's it? Well, where we go? All right, mate. I'm now reassigned to the glaucomycota, which I don't. Oh yeah. Or the subphyla, Insecedis micromycota. Mycognita, the Kik Zelomycognita, and the Zooparamycognita, and the Entomophthalmycognita. Some well-known examples of fungi, formerly known as Zygomycota, include black bread mold. Wow, well, there you go. The Rhizostellifer, and a phyllous species capable of ejecting spores several meters to the air. What? What? Black bread can eject mold several meters in the air? Oh my god, Father, that's making me sick. That's sick. Oh my god, it keeps on going, guys. The ascobiota, and of course these fungus, I'm sure. You mentioned this city, a world, a country of funguses, and they're just waiting. There's probably this country of funguses, and they've hidden themselves on the map, so no Australian can ever visit them. They have airports, but only at certain days when there's no Australians anywhere on the planet, then it suddenly opens up. But as soon as the Australian goes by, it's so ashamed of the way Australians mutilate their names. The Ascomyota, commonly known as sac fungi, I can get sac fungi, or Ascomycete, continues the largest economic group within the Eumycota, which is not the dicotyledon. These fungi form metric spores called acrospores, which are enclosed by a special sac-like structure called an acicus. The phylum includes morels, a few mushrooms, truffles, unicellular geese, the genera Saccharomyces and Chylomycin and Pitcher and Candida. Well, there you go. I do know what Candida is because that's foot rot. And many filamentous fungus living in saprophores, parasites, mutualistic symbionts, lichens. Prominent and important genera of filamentous ascomates include Aspergillus, Penicillium, Felicillium, and Clavius. It's interesting that these spores enable sufficiently invasive to actually get into rocks. So you can imagine that bacteria just can't get into rocks. That's why they get together. Because the products of meiosis are retained within when they mate, the cells just stay within the sac. Ascomycetes have been used for elucidating the principles of genetics and heredity. Members of this Mycena, commonly known as club fungus, and the other funguses, produce mesospores called basospores on club-like stalks called basilla. Most common mushrooms belong to this group, as well as rust, smut fungi, which are the major pathogens of grains. Other important basospores include maize pathogens, human commensal species and genus Mycelzea, an opportunity human pathogen. So fungus can kill you, but I don't know how, but foot rot is separate. Candida is separate. That's the Ascomyota, and then you've got a Bascomyota. Well, okay, these are fungus-like organisms, so we'll go here, which don't make the grade. Okay, so you walk like a fungus, you smell like a fungus, you taste like a fungus, but DNA tests prove that you ain't one of us. Because of similarity in morphology and lifestyles, the slime molds, well, I love slime molds, they are just the best. Slime molds. The Mycertians, Pasmodophids, the Ascrids, Fortuna, the Labyrinthinids, wow, I'd love one of those, the Amoeziorba, the Rhizarca, the Vaca, the Obiscohonta, the Stramephiles, respectively, wow, slime mold. You know, truly, if there is a convention, people will go to plants. Most people go for plants. A lot of people go for animals because they love the cute furry things. Some people go to funguses. And me and another mate will be out with the slime molds because I love spine molds. Okay. formerly classified in the kingdom of fungi in the group Mastomygnota, Glymocota, and Pycomyces. Flower moths were also studied in a precedent leading to an ambi-regional duplicated taxonomy. So, two taxonomies tested as protozoan, but unlike true fungi, the cell walls of oomycetes, contain cellulose and lactitin. Oh, there you go. So this is not a plant, but it has cellulose. And just nutrients by ingestion, phagocytosis, except in labyrinthules, rather than by absorption. Okay, so they envelop them. My God. Osmotrophy as funkies, labyrinthines, obmycetes, and hypocherids. Neither water molds nor slime molds are closely related to true fungi, and therefore taxonomists no longer group them in the kingdom of fungi. Nonetheless, studies of oomycetes, Dello, and Mycomycetes are still often included in mycology textbooks as primary research literature. So, what is a slime mold? I love you, slime molds. The Acrinales and amidales and the opsicont protists, so it's process, whatever it is, previously thought to be zygomycete fungi. Other groups in the opsiconta were also given time at were also at a given time classified as fungi. So you just get chucked out of the fungi thing. The genus Blastocystis and Stramophiles was originally classified as yeast. Elastobio is now in the Alvocata, was considered a cherid. The bacteria also included in fungi, within some classifications as the group Schizomycetes. So, as you can imagine, bacteria has chin in the outside. Rosier clad, including the X-charid Rosella, the Rosella, is a genetically disparate group known mostly from the environmental DNA sequences that this is a group of funky. Environmental DNA is that you can't pick it up, but it's sort of like seeing a murder scene, there's lots of little body bits about the place and to see who's there. The nucleids that may exist in this group of the eukaryotic clade could be included in expanded fungal system. Could be, but not if I'm doing it. So who would have thought the family tree of fungi would be so much? So it's sort of like veterans, a lot of people who haven't fought, claim to have fought, and all that sort of stuff. Many actinomycetes and actinobacteria, a group with many filamentous bacteria, also being believed to be fungus. So this blows my brain. Okay, a diagram of the apothidum, the typical cup-like reproductive structure of the ascomycetes, showing a sterile tissues as well as developing a mature acaki. Whatever the heck is that? That's just beyond belief. So the most, when you eat a fungus, you can eat candida or mushroom, but the best, this Ascomycota, and the Basidomycota is a club fungus, ecology. The most although often inconspicuous, it's sort of like this real, like kingmaker, fungi occur in every environment on Earth and play very important roles in most ecosystems. Along with bacteria, fungi are the major decomposers of most terrestrial and some aquatic ecosystems, and therefore play a critical role in the biochemical cycles. In many food webs, as decomposers, they play a central role as nutrient recycling, especially saprophores and symbi joints, degrading organic matter and inorganic molecules, which can re-enter the anabolic metabolic pathway, anabiotic metabolic pathways in the plant and other organisms.
Well, there you go.
Pinball decomposing a peach. Well, there you go. There's nothing better than that. I don't know why they've got this thing called symbiosis. Most fungi have important symbiotic relationships with organisms from most different all kingdoms. I don't understand, because there's only a plant and animal kingdoms. These interactions can be mutualistic or antagonistic in nature, or can be commensal fungi that are no apparent benefit or detriment to the host. Commensalism, that is, you exist, but you're completely separate from my world. It's an interesting concept. With algae and cyanobacteria, lichens are symbiotic relationships between fungi and photosynthetic algae and cyanobacteria. So a lichen is a fungus, and it can either be a bacteria or algae. Photosynthetic partner in the relationship is referred to the lichen terminology as the photobiont. Fungal part of the relationship is composed mostly of various species of ascomycete and a few bastomycetes. Lichens occur in every ecosystem on all continents, play a key role in soil formation and the initiation of biological succession, whatever that means, and are prominent in some extreme environments, including polar alpine, semi-arid desert regions. They're also able to grow in inhospitable surfaces, including bare soil, rocks, tree bark, wood, shells, barnacles, and leaves. As in microtures, the probiotic provides sugar and other carbohydrates via as in microtures, the probiotic provides sugars and carbohydrates via photosynthesis to the fungus, while the fungus provides minerals and water to the probiont. The functions of both symbiotic organisms are closely intertwined, though they function almost as a single organism. In most cases, the resulting organism differs greatly from individual components. The lichenization is a common mode of nutrition of fungi. About 20% of fungi between 17,500 to 20,000 described species are lichenized. Characteristics common to most lichens include obtaining organic carbon from by photosynthesis, slow growth, small size, long life, long lasting, seasonal vegetative reproductive structures, mineral nutrition obtained largely from airborne sources, greater tolerance of desiccation than most photosynthetic organisms in the same habitat. Okay, there you go. With insects, many insects also engage in mutualistic relationship with fungi. Several groups of ants cultivate fungi in order of the agricades as their primary food source, while Amboursa beetles cultivate various species of fungi in the bark of a tree they infest. Likewise, females of several wood wasp species inject their eggs together with spores into wood rotting of the wood rotting fungus into the sapwood and pine trees. The growth of the fungus provides ideal nutritional position for the development of wasp larvae. At least one species, Stingless bee, has a relationship with the fungus in the genus Molluscus, where the larvae consume and depend on fungus transferred from old to new nest. Termites on the African savanna are also known to cultivate fungi, and yeasts of genera Candida and Lacina inhabit the gut of a wide range of insects, including neurophens, beetles, cockroaches, It's not aware that these fungus benefit to their host, so cockroaches are full of fungus. Fungi ingrowing dead woods are essential for the xylophagous insects, such as wood-boring beetles. So wood-boring beetles require fungus. They deliver nutrients needed by the xylophagous to nutritionally scarce dead wood. Thanks to nutritional enrichment, the larvae of wood-boring insects are able to grow and develop into adult. The larvae of many families of fungalicious flies. That's not fungalicious flies, that's a new word for me. Particularly those of the superfamily Scarcria and the Mycetophyllae, and some Charophyllae feed on fungal fruiting bodies and sterile fungalicious, new word, as pathogens and parasites. Now, it's interesting, this toxin looks like very closely related to I'm just looking at this molecular form. It looks related to, termite bait. As pathogens and parasites, many fungi are parasites on plants, animals, including humans and other fungi. There was a whole series of microbacteria which were only parasitic bacteria, but very important. Or they were parasitic bacteria and they drove their bacteria to invade systems to allow them to multiply. Serious pathogens of many cultivated plants causing extensive damage and losses to agricultures and forestry include the rice blast and fungus, Magnifiozae, tree pathogens of Osteobastoma ulmi, Bastoma nervi ulmi, causing Dutch elm disease, the Cryptococcus parasitica responsible for chestnut blight, the plant pathogens in the genera Flushum, Usul, Elthra, and Cochlobulus. Some carnivorous fungus, like Bacillus, are predators of the nematodes. There you go. They can capture using an array of specialized structures, such as reconstricting adhesive nets. What? So they lasso worms, funguses lasso worms. Go figure. Many funguses are plant pathogens, such as Magnifiozae, can switch from biotrophic, parasitic on living plants, to being necrotrophic, feeding on dead tissues. As they've killed. That's the ideal thing. The same principle is applied to other fungi feeding parasites, including Astrotrimia albida, which feeds on fruiting bodies of other fungi, while both they are living and after they're dead. Well, of course you want to. Okay. That would be obviously, I suppose if you're a vampire, you just like to keep on sucking when they're dead. As targets of macroparasites, organisms which parasitize fungi are known as mycoparasitic organisms. Certain species of genus of phylum, which are oomycetes, have potential as biocombatant agents of fungi, i.e. slime mold. This is where I think slime mold, there's not many of them. They are interesting, they are slimy, and they can actually eat fungus. Fungi also act as mycoparasites or antagonist to other fungi, such as, obviously, the Hypomyces christophermus, which grows on the bolete mushrooms. Fungi can become target of infections by mysoviruses, so you can get a virus to get them. So mycotoxin, these are toxins by mushrooms. Many fungi produce biologically active compounds like magic mushrooms, several of which are toxic to animals and plants and therefore called mycotoxins. Of particular relevance to humans is the mycotoxin produced by moles causing food spoilage. The poisonous mushrooms see above. Particularly infamous are the lethal amatoxins, amanita mushrooms or ergot alkaloids, which have a strong history of causing serious epidemics of ergotisms. St. Anthony's Fire in people consuming rye or related cereals contaminated by shelter or ergot fungus. I do mention warfarin. Warfarin was spoiled. I think barley fed the cows and they all bled to death. Okay. Other notable mycotoxins include aflatoxin, which are insidious liver toxins, a highly carcinogenic metabolite produced in asparagus species, often growing on the grains and nuts consumed by humans. What? They give you cancer? Oh my god. Orthotoxin, patulin, and trichothecines, T2 mitotoxins, and fumicins have a significant impact on human food supply and livestock. My godfather. Mycotoxins are secondary metabolites or natural products, and research has established the existence of biochemical pathways solely for the purpose of producing mycotoxins in other natural products in fungi. Mycotoxins can provide fitness benefits in terms of physiological adaptation, competition within other microbes and fungi, and protection from consumption of fungi. So, I don't know what I had before. This is, what did I have before this word that I absolutely love? Well, here's a new word. Fungivory. So, it's protection against fungivory. Many fungal secondary metabolites or derivatives are used medically, described under human below, or human use. Let's go back. What was the word that I really love? So fungivory and fungorific, or something like that. Fungivory and fungorific. Okay. Human use. Human use of fungi in food preparation or preservation and other purposes is extensive and long history. Mushroom farmers, kee-haw, mushroom farming, and mushroom gathering are large industries in many countries. The study of historical use of sociological impact of fungi is known as entomycology. Wow. So there's a group of mycologists. Where are the ethnomycologists? They're over there having wine, enjoying the wine, you know, wine tasters. So ethnomycology. Because the capacity of this group to produce, this is not the mycologist, but to produce an enormous range of natural products and antimicrobials or other biological activities, many species have long been used or are being developed for industrial production of antibiotics, vitamins, anti-cancer, cholesterol-lowering drugs. More recently, methods have been developed for genetic engineering of fungi, enabling metabolic engineering of fungal species. For example, genetic modification of yeast species, which easily grows at fast rates in large fermentation vessels, has opened up ways for pharmaceutical production that are potentially more efficient than the production of the original source organisms. You betcha. Therapeutic use. Many species, obviously you've got penicillins, produce metabolites, which are major sources of pharmacologically active drugs. Particularly important are the antibiotics, including penicillins, structure-related beta-lactam antibiotics, and synthesized from small peptides. Although naturally occurring penicillins, use penicillin G, produced by penicillin crystapen, have a relatively narrow spectrum of biological activity. which is really interesting because when they first used penicillin, they picked diseases to treat, sort of like someone just throwing a dart from a kilometre away and hitting it straight in the centre. How it worked, one doesn't know. Other antibiotics produced by fungi include cyclosporin, commonly used immunosuppressant during transplant surgery, flucic acid used to help control infection, methicillin-resistant streptococcus aureus bacterium. Widespread use of antibiotics for the treatments of bacterial disease such as tuberculosis, syphilis, leprosy, and others began in the early 20th century and continues today. In nature, antibiotics of fungal and bacterial origin appear to play a dual role. At high concentrations, they act as a chemical defense against competition with other microorganisms in a species-rich environment, such as the rhizosphere. At low concentrations, as quorum-sensing molecules for intra- or interspecies signals. Other drugs produced by fungi include glycerin, isolated penicillin glycerin, also treat fungal infections, and strains of the GMH-CoA reductase inhibitors used to inhibit cholesterol synthesis. Well, there you go. Examples of statins found in fungi include mevastatin and penicillicetin and lovastatin. So I'm eating fungus juice and oyster mushrooms. Fungus produce that inhibit viruses and cancer cells, specific metabolites such as polysaccharide K, egomatin, B, lectin, antibiotics, and routinely used in clinical medicine. The shiitake mushroom is a common source of lithium, a clinical drug approved for the use of cancer treatments in several countries, including Japan. Shiitake, oh yes. In Europe and Japan, polysaccharide K, brand name Kristen, is a chemical derived as approved adjuvant to cancer therapy. Traditional and folk medicine. Certain mushrooms enjoy usage as therapeutics in folk medicine, such as traditional Chinese medicine. Notable medicinal mushrooms of the well-documented history include Agus subarachnoides and Gandalfinum lucensis and Physalog and Orophodocentes. The entire thing of Chinese medicine is that it sort of rather forgets to say, well, we've got this huge money-making drug industry which would just totally run you all over if you had any belief in it. So why would drug companies doing these other things when Chinese medicine works inside of it? Cultured for baker's yeast, or Saccharomyces cerevisiae, the unicellular fungus is used to make bread and other wheat-based products such as pizza dough and dumplings. Yeast species of the genus Saccharomyces are also used to produce alcoholic beverages through fermentation. Soya koi mold, essential ingredient, brewing soya sauce. Ah, soya. Soya, it's a mold. And the preparation of miso, while rufous species are used for making tempeh, whatever that is. Specifles? Fungorific, and what's the other word? There's fungorific, which I can't forget what it means, and fungivory, fungorific, and I don't know what fungorific is, I've forgotten now. In food, the edible mushrooms include commercially raised wild and wild harvested fungi, cage fungi. Agus borus, sold as button mushrooms when small, or portobello mushrooms when larger, are the most wildly cultivated species in the West, used in salads, soups, and many other dishes. Many Asian fungi are commercially grown and have increased in popularity in the West. They are often available in fresh grocery stores and markets, including straw mushrooms, oyster mushrooms, and shiitakes, and etiotakes, more whatever it is. Many other mushroom species are harvested from the wild. Okay, I'm going to finish that thing. For personal consumption or commercial sale. Obviously, milk mushrooms, morels, chanterelles, truffles, black trumpets, porcellini mushrooms, also known as king bollocks, at a hard price market, are often used in gourmet dishes. Yum. Certain, I can read this. The last one, taxonomy, is just a horrid read to me. Certain types of cheeses require inoculation of milk curds with fungal species to impart unique flavour and texture. In fact, most of what we taste, which is good wine and good cheese, is the fungus. Everything else is just there for a ride. In sample clothes, the blue coloured cheese is Stilton Roquefort, and I made a vinification with the Penicillium Roqueforti. Molds used in cheeses produce a non-toxin and are thus safe for human consumption. However, mycotoxin may accumulate because of growth of other fungi during the cheese ripening and storage. So you kill someone. Okay, here we go. Poisonous fungus. Many mushroom species are poisonous to humans. The toxicities range from slight digestive problems to allergic reactions, as well as hallucinations to severe organ failures, and at the end of the road, if you're not satisfied with any of that, death. Generally, with mushrooms containing deadly toxins include Kukbi, Calliera, Lepida, and most infamously, the Amanita virus. So when you, there's that, when you're at the market stall, say, pass them over. Those genus includes the destroying angel, the death cap, and the most common cause of deadly mushroom poison. The first moral is occasionally considered a delicacy when cooked, yet can be highly toxic when eaten raw. Well, there you go, that's the thing. The tricolor equista is considered edible until they are it was implicated in a serious poisoning causing rhamnodesmosodilosis, whatever it is. Fly agaric mushrooms also cause occasional non-fatal poisoning, mostly as a result of ingestion for its hallucinogenic properties. Historically, fly agaric is used by different peoples in Europe and Asia, and its present use in religious ceremonial purposes is reported by some ethnic groups, such as the Korek people in northeastern Siberia. Well, there you go. As it's difficult to accurately identify safe mushrooms without proper training and knowledge, it's often advised to assume wild mushrooms will be poisonous and not to consume them. Pest control. In agriculture, fungi may be useful if they actively compete for nutrients and space with pathogenic microorganisms such as bacteria and other fungi, by competitive exclusion principle, or if they are parasites of these pathogens. For example, certain species may be used to eliminate or suppress the growth of harmful plant pathogens such as insect mites, weeds, and nematodes. I love the trap, you know, ring you go through, a worm goes through in the mushrooms. I've seen things. This has generated strong interest in practical application of the use of fungi and biological controls in the agricultural pests. Entomophagic fungi can be used as biopesticides as they actively kill insects. Examples have been used: biological insect Bovira bassana, Metrosim, the aspect. I like the insects which give an egg and a bit of plant food. It's almost nourishing to them. Hello, Rupi. Endophilic fungi of grasses of the genus Neophyllium, such as can poison grazing animals, cattle, and sheep. Well, that's what's actually happened. Infecting cultivars of pastures of forage grasses with Neophyllium, so it's spoiled. I think it's spoiled silage that caused Wolfram, is one approach being used in grass breeding programs. Fungal strains are selected for producing only alkaloids which increase resistance to herbivores such as insects, while leaving non-toxic to livestock. Wow. Biomediation. Certain fungi, in particular white rot fungi, can degrade insecticide herbicides. Pentaphorol, creosote, coal tars, and heavy fuels and turn them into carbon dioxide, water, and base elements. Fungus have also shown to demineralize uranium oxide, suggesting that they may have applications in bioremediation of reactively polluted sites. Model organisms. Several pivotal discoveries in biology were made by researchers using fungi as model organisms. That's right. All eutrophic organisms are just too complicated. Fungus, you are great. Other important model fungi, so bread mold is a great one. Other important fungi The yeasts, which have a long history of yeast, to investigate eukaryotic cell biology and genetics. They are eukaryotic, but they're not plants or animals, such as cell cycle regulation, chromatin structure, and gene regulation. Other fungal models have more recently emerged to address specific biological questions relevant to medicine, plant pathology, industrial uses. Examples include kinetobasis, a dimorphic opportunist human pathogen, plant pathogen, and Pitcher pyrotaurus, a yeast widely used for eukaryotic protein production. Others. Fungus are used extensively to produce industrial chemicals such as glutenic, lactic acid, malic acids, industrial enzymes such as lipase, and ingredients that, yeah, when you have vitamin C tablets, you're eating fungus poo. Stonewashed genes? What? You stonewashed genes a fungicide? Wow. Several species, most notably piscopin mushrooms, colloquially known as magic mushrooms, are ingested for the psychedelic properties, both recreationally and religiously, as if there's a big difference between them. Well, thanks a lot for listening, and that took an hour and 16 minutes to do that one. Thanks a lot. Sorry for my pronunciation. It is just so bad, it's not funny.
Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.